B-Pod Studios.
No one says it like they do.
What do you mean?
Well, what do you mean?
Felger and Mads.
I'm just making it up. Totally making it up.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
The Blues don't have an empty net goal in these playoffs yet. Barbashev got it! 5-1 Blues! Empty net goal! Ivan Barbashev just helped the Blues put a handful on the Sharks in Game 6. You can smell it. You can taste it. You can feel it. And the best part, St. Louis, it ain't over.
All these hockey guys, Naz, are into sniffing the cup.
Yeah, seriously, can you smell it?
They want to put their schnoz right in there and smell that thing. Welcome
smells
in.
Like the finals.
Felger and Maserati here on 98.5, the Sports Hub from our Town Fair Tire Studios in Dorchester. The finals are set. Bruins and St. Louis Blues. Boston, your thoughts. Anthony, your thoughts.
So I've undersold the Blues. I told you all along I thought the Blues would be a better matchup because the Bruins had beat them, and I think I've had it backwards the whole time. I think the Blues are going to be a tractor pull. I think it's going to be a grind of a series. I've done a little more research on them in the last day or so. I asked people about them, and I said to you yesterday, are they at all like the Columbus Blue Jackets? And you said, yeah, not a bad comparison. And I've asked people, and you know what people have said to me? Yes, but deeper. Deeper on D, deeper at forward. And if that's true, because your advantage in that series with Columbus was your depth, then this thing's going to be a grind. And so my natural question was, well, how are the Blues the worst team in the NHL on January 3rd? And I know the history of the Blues, that they haven't been to the final in 50 years, basically. I know all of that. And the reality is none of that really matters. It's about who they are right now. And I've undersold them, and I think it's going to be a fight.
Well, how could you say undersold them? You just said that you said all along they would have been a tougher pull than San Jose.
No, I meant San Jose, I thought, was a tougher.
Oh, you did? You were saying that?
At the beginning, I thought.
I thought you were St. Louis.
Well, no. I remember when we were talking, and I said, I think San Jose is the one team left that could beat the Bruins.
Yeah.
And now, I mean, maybe it's just because we're here. I don't. I think St. Louis plays a style that is conducive to success at this time of year. And that is heavy, defensive-oriented, maybe a little too conservative. We'll see how that goes. But I think that, look what they did to San Jose. I mean, by the end of that series, San Jose was like punch drunk. They're getting smashed all over the place. And by the end of it, three guys are out. They're a shell of themselves. Thornton's standing in front of the net, almost looks afraid to go after the puck and to block it. Like, I just think that they were worn down, and I think the Blues can do that to you. I think the Bruins are tougher than San Jose, but the bottom line is I think it's going to be a series.
All right, Murray, you get your barbecue. Congratulations.
Yep. Boy, what a pain in the ass to try to find a direct flight in and out of that place.
Also, now you're bitching about St. Louis.
Yeah, a little bit.
It's all about you and your flight.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, that's the old. I'm going to sit here and pretend. I'm going to give you a breakdown of the Blues.
Yeah.
I don't. Mike, what do I know? The goalie. They turned it around in January. They fired the coach. They were beating each other up in camp. They turned it around. It's a great story. They obviously got there for a reason. They look pretty big. Yeah, they kind of remind me of Columbus. What do you want other than that? Let's go enjoy St. Louis and eat some barbecue, and hopefully they win in 5 games. Hopefully it's a sweep.
Why are you so agitated, Murray?
Why do you think?
I don't know.
Traffic.
50 minutes to go 10 miles. Cut through Southie, Murray. That's what I've been doing, Mike. Now that's a nightmare, too.
Apparently not properly. I'll show you.
Yes. All right, give me the Felger jetpack.
I will.
Because that's how I'm convinced how you get here. I don't get the Felger money. You get here with a jetpack. That's how you're able to still get here
remember,
you leave your house 20 minutes ago.
The right answer is always traffic.
I just have a penis. And so I can drive and get places where I need to go.
Debatable.
At least when it comes to driving. All right, so we'll give Murray a second. No, maybe not. I don't want to give him a second to settle down. You're big Jim Murray. You usually worry about these things. If you're a Bruins fan, are you comfortable in this series?
No, I think you're going to get a really good competitive series. I think this was I know it wasn't the sexier matchup, and you wanted more talking points for guys like Joe Thornton, and there was certainly more star power there, and Logan Couture, and a lot of those forwards of San Jose. They're more household names for hockey fans. But
I also think, it's not just that. San Jose is a more entertaining watch.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. No, because you're more up and down the ice. Yeah. This is a more, it seems like a more conservative, grinded out type of team at the Blues from what I've watched in the handful of games throughout the playoffs. And they seem like it's going to be tougher. Again, they kind of remind me of Columbus. So I think a few games into this, though, I think we'll have things to talk about, because I think that this is going to go six or seven games. I really do. The Bruins are going to have, this is going to be a tough out.
Okay. I like the Bruins in this series a lot. I mean, I do. I'm kind of confident. And, you know, for a lot of reasons. And we're going to be talking about this for the next 5 days. Why do I like the Bruins? And I'll just say that I think matchup-wise, I did think San Jose was going to be tougher on you. Because I think, to use an analogy we usually use in different sports, or a word we usually use in different sports, San Jose's explosive. And the Maple Leafs are explosive. And the Lightning are explosive. I don't think St. Louis is explosive enough. I don't. They're fast, maybe a little bit faster than you. They have certainly have some skill guys, but it's just not the kind of team that puts you on your heels. And that's what, if I'm a Bruins fan and I'm the Bruins, those are the teams that would give me pause. The teams that can put me on my heels, because the Bruins are not the fastest team. And it's not just Chara. It's kind of across the board that they're okay. They're not super slow, but they're against these really fast teams and these explosive teams. Those are the teams that I think give me pause. And St. Louis is just not explosive. It's sort of a grinded out team. So look, I think that if the Bruins don't play well, they'll lose. I mean, I'll grant you that. I don't think they can waltz their way to this thing and play poorly and win. They can't play poorly and win. And certainly there's a path for St. Louis because it's so low scoring and grinded out. If it's a bunch of 2-1, 3-2 games, and now we're talking about bounces of the puck.
Well, that's what worries me.
Or single saves or hitting the bar. I mean, then that's, you know, that's sort of St. Louis's path. I mean, you know, that's how they do it. But it's not like one of these series where I think it's like, whoo, you're just on your heels and they're all over you. It's not that kind of
like
series.
Like they don't overwhelm you with their overwhelm you with your talent.
Yeah,
right.
And it's also the way that they play. I mean, that's sort of how their style of their play is just not. I think they're a little conservative with how they play.
So I like that.
And if I'm the Bruins, I like that.
So it does fit the Bruins better in that way, right? Like, you know, because typically the Bruins can handle that. They can handle a heavy opponent. They, you know, they're okay playing that way. All of that stuff. I get that. But, you know, and the one thing I will say, having watched in parts that last series with St. Louis and San Jose, the Bruins will be way better in their own end than San Jose is. Holy crap, at San Jose, they leave a lot of space there. They let guys behind them. Last night, how many guys got behind the defense in the zone of the Sharks and had open, you know, had just free shots at the net?
Yep.
Happened over and over and over again, and that's not going to happen against the Bruins, I don't think. I mean, it did a little bit at the beginning of the Columbus series with Duchesne hanging out there on power plays and being able to pick up rebounds and jam them past Rask, but I think the Bruins aren't going to make that mistake again, and if they do, it'll be a one-off thing for a game. It won't be a whole series thing.
Okay.
But I fear that San Jose, I'm St. Louis, rather, and I keep doing that, is tougher than you. I do fear that. They're big, they're heavy, and I can see them wearing the Bruins down.
Yeah, but in terms of speed, I don't see a guy here that they've faced like an Aho or any of those forwards with Toronto like Marner or Austin Matthews or even, I don't know, like it's, I guess, who's the fastest guy that was on Columbus? That would have been the Russian. Oh, why am I drawing a blank?
Panarin.
Yeah, Panarin. So, all right, so who isn't on this Blues team? Shen?
No, Tarasenko.
Tarasenko, yeah.
I mean, he's the most skilled. He's their sniper. In terms of pure speed, I mean, look, I don't think you're all that quick. I don't. I think Krejci plays slow. I think Bergeron is, you know, speed-wise is fine, but not great. Pastrnak, I mean, stray guys have it here, but I mean, Krejci's flat-out slow. Bergeron's average. Backes is flat-out slow. Chara is flat-out glacial. Carlo's slow. So I just think that if you get into a team with a speed, skill, attack mode kind of thing, those are the teams that would really worry me. St. Louis doesn't play that way. They have some of that personnel, but they don't play that way. I think the Bruins are also just playing better. When you look at just the playoffs, I mean, look at the regular season. All these numbers bear out too, but just in the playoffs. Goals scored per game. Bruins are second in the playoffs. San Jose's fourth. goals against in the playoffs, all 16 teams. Bruins are first. St. Louis is fifth. The big one, power play. The Bruins have better special teams.
So that's a big one, but go ahead.
Bruins are first with 34% on the power play.
Yeah, they've been great.
Tremendous. St. Louis is ninth out of 16.
There's just one mitigating factor there.
Penalty kill, Bruins are fourth. St. Louis is 11th. So, I mean, there's not a thing that in the playoffs St. Louis has been better than U.S.
I'm surprised the Bruins were fourth in the PK. They've been phenomenal.
So, you thought they would have been better than fourth?
Yeah, I do.
I don't. Well, I mean, I don't know. They don't count those shorthanded goals.
Oh, right. Yeah.
There isn't a thing that St. Louis has done better than you in the postseason. The mitigating factor, I assume, is going to be competition?
No. St. Louis doesn't go to the box. They don't commit penalties. So this is like, so I don't know how often the Bruins are going to be on the power play. So I was looking it up. I think they've committed the fewest penalties in the postseason. And if they haven't, it's the second fewest. And the Bruins are also right there, by the way. So my point is, if there aren't a lot of penalties called in the series, it becomes a 5-on-5 series.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think that favors the Bruins. I think the special teams would favor the Bruins. We saw that in the Carolina series. And so I'm okay if that happens. Hey, good. No problem. The Bruins have the better special teams. I'm totally fine with that. But I could see this being a series that's 5-on-5. And the grind factor does worry me. I think the Bruins are a little better. I'm not telling you they're not. I just think there is this belief that it's the Blues. You know, who the hell are the Blues? They were in last place on all the mistakes that I think I've made. All the mistakes. And I think it's going to be an effing tractor pull of 2-1 and 3-2 games. That's what I think. And that does it. That introduces the lucky bounce factor, as you're talking about.
So that's St. Louis's path, and it's right there. And if the Bruins don't play well, they can and will lose. I just like the Bruins. They shouldn't lose to this team.
I agree.
You should not lose to this team. And one more thing I'll just give you is just sort of historically, the fluke team, the Cinderella team, the team out of nowhere in the Stanley Cup. We see it all the time. Those Cinderellas go deep. But they typically don't win it. And I told you this, you know, weeks ago, that generally speaking, when you get to the very end, the team that lifts the trophy is generally a legit team. Cinderella does not win it. Cinderella gets there in the NHL. Cinderella pulls off upsets and goes farther than anyone thought and is a great story. And then they get to the finals, and then they typically lose to the team that really belong there. And, you know, I'll just give you the last 10 champions in the NHL. Capitals, Ovechkin, Penguins, Crosby, Chicago, team of the decade. L.A., they won two. Chicago before that. L.A. before that. Boston, Chicago before that. Pittsburgh, Detroit. Those are your last 11 NHL champions. Detroit, Pittsburgh times three. Chicago times three. L.A. times two. You and the Capitals. There aren't really any flukes in there. They're not. The teams that they've beaten along the way, the Capitals last year beat Vegas, the expansion team. Cinderella got there, lost. The Penguins, their first of their last two here. So three seasons ago, they beat Nashville. Nashville was a wild card team. Nashville got there, and then the bubble burst.
They were a great story that postseason, too.
Nashville was, and then they got to the finals, and that was it. L.A., the first time they won, L.A. was an 8 seed. So that may be your case of Cinderella winning. L.A. was an 8 seed, except they played a Devils team that was a 6 seed.
Mm.
And then L.A. won it again 2 years later. So it's sort of like, were they really that big of a fluke? Boston wasn't a fluke that year. They got back 2 years later and are back 6 years later. Chicago is self-explanatory. Pittsburgh, self-explanatory. Detroit, self-explanatory. Cinderella typically can get here, but they don't win here.
Okay, so this is my question. And are they really a Cinderella team?
Yes.
Are they?
Yep.
Or did they just really underachieve for the first part of the year?
It has more to do about the goalie. When they brought him up, everything changed.
They're Cinderella.
Yeah.
They're Cinderella.
Think of those teams that have made it when it's been the story about the goalie. Like in 99 with Buffalo, they lose. That Florida Panthers team from like 25 years ago with Van Beesbrook, they end up losing. The Ducks team with J.S. Chiguer, even though he wins the Conn Smythe, they lose. So, yeah, you know, if you do look at it historically, even though there is the unpredictability of the Stanley Cup playoffs, when they do get to the finals, the cream usually does rise to the top.
Bruins better not lose this.
They can't.
They better not lose this. Your thoughts right after this.
This is Felger and Mass
on 98.5.
The Sport.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music.
Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
Felger and Mass.
I love it.
You were right, Mass.
I just keep loving it more and more.
Bore my listeners to death.
I finally feel alive.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Sounds good.
I do think St. Louis is a bit our twin. When you watch them, they're very similar to us. San Jose, a little different style of play. So, but we're comfortable. We feel good against, obviously, whoever had advanced. It's St. Louis now. Should be a great series. We just want to, like I said, the rest is good for us. I do believe that. Like, there was a lot of talk about, I really think this time of year, guys getting a little time off is fine, and we'll be ready to go on Monday. They play four lines. Their fourth line is a good checking line. They've got top end skill. Obviously, Schwartz is on fire. Tarasenko's can be O'Reilly's like a Bergie, you know, good two-way guy. Their third line plays in all situations, like we've used Coyle. Their D is bigger than ours. That is one difference. Our guys can move the puck, but they're bigger. Goaltending advantage, I think, listen, they like their goalies playing well, but I think Tuukka's the better of the two. I'm biased in that way, obviously. You got two teams that had real good second halves, known for, you know, physical play, but both can skate. So I really believe they're very similar to us. When we went up there, it was a 1-1 game, went into the shootout at home here. I think we scored late to win. So, should be a lower scoring heavy series, but I guess till we get out there, we'll see. But that's kind of what I see out of them right now.
Bruce Cassidy on this morning with Toucher and Rich. Listen to the whole interview at 985thesportshub.com, 985thesportshub app. One name that he mentioned that I just want to note is Ryan O'Reilly. Ryan O'Reilly is going to be a great matchup with him and Bergeron. This is a great matchup, and this is worth following. Ryan O'Reilly, when he was with Buffalo, he gave Bergeron fits. There were games where Ryan O'Reilly flat out outplayed Bergeron from the faceoff circle out, and he's a poor man's Bergeron, and on some nights he's Bergeron, and some nights he's better than Bergeron. Now that was, going back a couple years now. What's Ryan O'Reilly now exactly? I mean, he's only 28. He's right in the prime of his career, so I assume he's the same guy. Feels to me like he is when I watch him in St. Louis. But keep an eye on that one. That's always been a great matchup. Ryan O'Reilly v. Patrice Bergeron. As promised, to your thoughts. John is calling us from Florida. He has us on hold. John, you can call us back. Adam in Rhode Island. Go ahead on the Bs.
Yeah, Ryan O'Reilly with that big -3 throughout the playoffs. Really, really scared. Who's D?
Hold on. This is our 6-year-old from Rhode Island.
Oh, here we
I'm
go.
I'm sorry I said something nice about a guy on the other team. I'm
here
sorry,
we go.
Adam. Go ahead.
Oh, I'm sorry. I thought you had callers because you wanted different opinions, not your same bullcrap that you spit out your mouth every day. So what do you want me to stop talking? Do you want my opinion?
I'd like you to stop talking.
The Blues have bigger D, but they're slow as molasses. So my opinion, this series is most likely going to be done in 5 because our speed's going to kill them.
Okay. Very good, Adam. I think your analysis is worthless, frankly. I do. If you can't look at Ryan O'Reilly and say that he's a good player or has given you trouble, if you just can't admit a fact, then there's really no point listening to you. Go back to the kids' table.
He was -3. He had the most points on the team with 77, and he was their best plus-minus player this whole season with 22. But let's ignore those stats, and I'll give you the stats that I want to give you.
He might be a -3 because he goes up against the best player on the other team every night, which Bergeron does too. I'm not telling you Riley's better than Bergeron. I'm just telling you that's been a good matchup over the years. It has been.
I'm one of these people that, generally speaking, I don't take any matchup for granted when you get into the postseason. I don't. I'm sorry. Maybe that makes me a nervous ninny. Maybe it makes me an a-hole. I have no idea. Whatever it is, apply the label. Fine. I'll wear it. I'm just telling you that, everybody knows the stat. St. Louis was in last place on the morning of January 3rd. Since that time, they've had the second most points in the NHL. Only Tampa Bay was better. Yeah, man, so Tampa's out. I know Tampa's out. That means they're the best remaining team in the field. That's what that means. So, again, if you're just going to call and tell me the Bruins are winning in 5, don't bother. No, I can get that analysis by going to the pub down the street.
No, I think you'd get better analysis at the pub down the street. Go back to the fan board. But you can keep calling us. That's fine, too. Brent in the car. Go ahead, Brent.
Hi, guys. Thanks for having me on. I agree with Maz. I think, and I was telling some people at work last week, I felt better off playing against San Jose. Even though they have more finesse and they're skilled with shooting the puck, they're going to break down. They're in their last run, too, with the guys that they have, Burns, Thornton, Pavelski. They would have been a better matchup. I think St. Louis is going to be a lot more physical. I think they're going to wear them down. I think we're still going to win, but the kind of game that they're going to play, crashing the boards, you know, really taking it to them, I think that's going to be a little different because they got some big boys that we're not used to dealing with.
I agree with you that it's a tougher style in St. Louis, tougher style. And they can grind you out and are more, you know, I think you can get to San Jose and get them down. I mean, they just have that loser thing in them where, you know, something goes bad and it goes worse and then they capitulate. And I just think St. Louis, I don't think, has that in them. I mean, heck, they got that really bad call, that hand pass goal in game three. And then they won three straight, and I think they outscored them 12-2 over that time.
Yep.
That's a pretty good response.
Absolutely. Again, and they shut them down. They shut them down. So, like, they're tough. That's what scares me. They're tough. They're big, and they're tough. And so I just think that when you introduce that into a series, like, you're going to start seeing bodies drop, and that worries me with their size.
I just think the Bruins are better. And I do think St. Louis is Cinderella. I do. I think they're the classic Cinderella. And in the NHL, Cinderella can go really far. It just typically doesn't win at all. Eventually, Cinderella runs up against Crosby or Ovechkin last year or Kane and Taves or Jonathan Quick and Drew Doughty or Patrice Bergeron and Zdeno Chara and David Krejci and Brad Marchand and Cinderella. Then that's where it ends.
So I was just going to say, are the Bruins those guys?
No.
No, no. I mean, are they, you know, the Crosbys and the Malkins, are they those guys?
They are more than the Blues.
Okay, so this is, I told you, San Jose's
D. They are. I mean, I would put the Canes and the Taves ahead of your guys. They won three. They own the decade, I think. But those are Hall of Famers. I mean, you're talking about Bergeron, Chara, that group, you know, Don Sweeney's word. You know, you got 2 to 5 Hall of Famers on this team.
Yeah, they are. Look, I hope you're right. I mean, I hope you're right. I just think this thing's going to be an absolute freaking grind.
We've got Paul in the car. What are your thoughts, Paul?
I think it's basically going to come down to Billington. First of all, this is his first basically full year in the NHL. Plus, he played 31 games for the Providence Bruins last year. So they may actually have a book, but you don't really know. And ultimately, he's got to produce.
Okay, so of course, the goaltending's key. And, of course, Binnington is key to everything that they did. Not Billington. Binnington. Did I just say Bennington?
No, you said Binnington.
Binnington. Yes, he played with Providence. And I find that whole thing fascinating. Like, I don't know why I didn't know that until the other day. But I started to look into it a little bit more, and we'll dig into that more as we go forward today, in fact. Because I do find that piece to it really kind of interesting. And, you know, where's the advantage that he was in your system last year? Not that he was your property. It was just this weird thing where St. Louis did not have an AHL team. They tried to send him to the ECHL, apparently, which is the, you know, like double A ball. It's the rung below the AHL. He had previously played for the Kalamazoo Wings of the ECHL. So maybe they tried to send him back to Kalamazoo. And he said, F that. I'm not going to Kalamazoo. And so he refused to go to the E. So they loaned him out to the Bruins. And he spent the year with the Providence Bruins. With your players, your coaches, goalie Bob, you know, all of that stuff. And so who has the advantage there? Does he know your shooters or do you know him as a goalie?
I would say it's more B.
Well, we're going to talk about that as we go forward.
Who was shooting on him, Zboril and Senishin?
Okay, I think you're getting closer to the bone there. So when did he arrive? Who did he even practice with? All that stuff. All right, we'll get to that. But coming up next, I do want to hit on just one thing because our buddy, our guy, Joe Thornton comes up short once again, and that may be it for Joe Thornton. That may be it for Joe Thornton. Super guy, nice hockey player. And this is going to sound harsh. I feel guilty even saying it, but is this one of the great losers in all of sports? We'll talk about that after Murray's up.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
I just don't know what to say anymore.
Wrong, sorry.
It's Felger and Maz.
They could use a good ass kicking.
98.5 The Sports Hub.
You know, Joe's a heck of a player, but here's a player popping off about our team, and Joe hasn't won a thing in this league. He could go down as a player, being one of the better players in our league, never to win anything. So what he should do is just shut up, because it was uncalled for, it was classless. And it I've never had it happen like that before.
Well, that was John Tortorella. I can't remember what that was over. Does it matter? Joe Thornton got in a beef with, I think it was when Torts was with the Rangers. And Thornton and a Ranger went back and forth. But again, I can't even remember. But somewhere along the way, John Tortorella had a problem with Joe Thornton. And that's who he was talking of. John Tortorella talking about Joe Thornton could go down as one of the better players in our league, never to have won a thing. Will Joe Thornton go down as the best player in the NHL to never have won a thing?
He's up there.
Oh, yeah, he's up there. There's no two ways about it. I mean, isn't he a three-time MVP?
I don't know that.
I think he is. I
thought it was one, but again, you always ask me questions on the air. I have no clue about it.
Okay. So, In any case, looking quickly, I think it's actually two. So, but regardless, like, you know, I'm sort of just saying it to put in context his career. That's why I ask.
Yep.
But, like, he's probably a Hall of Famer, isn't he?
Oh, definitely. First ballot, first 5 minutes.
I mean, so, you know, that's one of those things where you say the guy had 1,000 points, multiple MVP winner, Hall of Famer.
He won the Hart only once the year you traded him. the year you traded him.
Oh, that's great.
You traded the MVP.
Oh, that's funny.
But he went on to win nothing, zero. Bupkis made only one final. He's been in the league forever.
21 years.
Forever.
He'll be 40 in a month.
Little Mikey Felger was on the beat for the Boston Bruins his rookie year. That's how long that was, 1997. And now, 21 years later, 22 years later, Bupkis, one final.
Yeah, in my lifetime, now that I think about it, yeah, he'll probably go down as the, you know, the biggest name and maybe the most talented to not win a cup. Pavel Bure, Pat LaFontaine.
I mean, Ovechkin was it.
Yeah, well, right, yeah.
Ovechkin was there.
No, he got it.
No, he was number one with a bullet, no question.
Ray Bourque was about to be it until he, you know, finally got out of here. I don't know. You tell me who's next.
No, I think it's probably this guy.
I mean,
it's probably this guy.
Brett Hull got one, right?
Yep. He did. He won with Dallas, right?
So you tell me, our hockey people who are better with the history than me, the greatest NHL player never to Neely? I mean, I don't know. He's on the list. I don't know if he's the greatest. Mm. Joe Thornton or Neely?
Well, Thornton had a better career.
Yeah, because of longevity.
Certainly did. So you tell me, who's the greatest player to never have won a cup?
I mean, this guy's on the list. He's in the conversation.
Definitely on in the conversation.
Oh, absolutely.
Definitely.
Yeah, no two ways about it again. And you know, there was a play last night. And look, I recognize he's 39 years old now. But there was a play last night. Was it the first goal? Where, you know, he was right there and kind of made a half-assed attempt to get in front of the shot.
Well, that's the thing. Did he ever really scare you?
No. And, nope. You know, I'm telling you, year after year, when I would watch him, even when I watched the Olympics, and I was a big Olympic, you know, consumer, and I'd watch him on Team Canada, in those games, talk about the quiet one. You just don't notice him. He gets rid of the puck quickly. He never seems to be in the middle of the action. It's weird. He really is in those big moments. He gets small. He gets small, man. And, you know, some of the numbers aren't bad. Like when the Sharks went to the finals a couple years ago, he had 21 points in 24 games. So he was there on the stat sheet. This year he had 10 points in 19 playoff games, but I don't hold that against him as much now that he's this age.
He's 39 now.
He's not supposed to be the prime point producer, so I don't know. This trade, Jimmy Stewart, give me some names. Greatest NHL players that never have won a cup.
Pavel Bure.
That's what I said.
It's a good one, Murray.
Dino Cicerelli.
Nah.
Mike Gartner. Dale Havlicek.
Yep.
Phil Housley.
Okay. Yeah. All right, so Thornton is in this conversation.
Oh, he absolutely is. He's better than at least half the guys on that list.
Yes, sir.
At least half. Maybe better than all of them for Grant Burry, who's pretty good, though. You know, I just think he does, you know, your theory, every dog has his day? Maybe not.
Not this one.
I mean, he goes down as one of the great sort of, you know, bust is not the right word, but never winning a championship? Well, that's for him. That's okay. A serious negative.
Meanwhile, he was a franchise player and one of the better players in the league for two decades. He won the MVP the year you traded him. In return, you got Marco Sturm, Wayne Primo, and Brad Stewart. What was the worst trade? Thornton for Marco Sturm, Wayne Primo, and Brad Stewart? Or Tyler Seguin for Louis Erickson, Joe Morrow, Riley Smith, and Matt Frazier?
The latter, because it wasn't going to work here with Seguin because I think of his off-the-ice stuff. It was never going to work here for Joe Thornton because he's a bit of a kitten.
So, I'm sorry, which one was worse?
I think the Seguin trade was worse. So, I'll always think the Seguin trade was
worse. I still say Seguin because there's still a lot of time left on that one. I'll take my chances.
The Seguin trade was worse. Not one of those four guys could play. I disliked all of them. Marco Sturm was okay.
Yeah.
Marco Sturm was okay for you.
Won you the Winter Classic.
And not just that. He was,
it's a great pass from Krejci.
He was a part of the team that put hockey back on the map in this town. And I talk about the 2008 Bruins, a team that went to Game 7 against Montreal in the first round of a playoff series. They played an epic Game 6 here at the Garden. And this was back in the era. This was 2008. And the Bruins were such in fourth place in this town. It was to the point where they sold... This I remember vividly. I went to the game as a fan. It's not like we had to do pre- or post-game shows or none of this. You know, there was no response. You know, the Bruins are so far off the map. The Bruins sold board advertisements to Montreal Pizza Chains. So there was like a ad for Montreal Pizza. Yeah. Call 624. You know, they have all the weird numbers with the weird, you know. It was just for the Montreal TV audience.
Yeah. Père Jean.
that's how bad it was here. And there was an epic Game 6 that you won like 5-4 or 6-5. It was just... to me, it's a game that put hockey back on the map in this town. And Marco Sturm, I think, scored the game winner. He was a big part of that team and that game. And like Marco Sturm gave you more moments in that game and that season than any of these bums, Riley Smith and Louis Erickson, these guys. The Seguin trade was worse.
I mean, that was the game that sucked me back in.
It's still unforgivable that you didn't get a first round pick in either of these deals. I mean, that is such a joke. It's not even funny. How is that possible that you trade MVPs? And that's what Sagan's, you know, the caliber of player he is. And you don't get a first-round pick in return for either guy? Holy crap.
Brutal. Look, again, brutal. And so I also factor in that Sagan's still young. That one still could come back to bite you in the ass. Like, you're talking solely about the return. I'm saying there's still a chance he could win one.
But on
Thornton's done.
On both, I'll give the Bruins credit for something. They did not hitch their wagon to the wrong guy, meaning... I think part of their analysis was, we can't win with this guy. And if they felt that way about Joe Thornton, they were right. And if they felt that way about Tyler Seguin, I like that. Give me a little dramatic backing there.
I think that guy was about to swear.
Yeah. If they felt they couldn't win it with Thornton and they couldn't win it with Seguin, they were right on both. They were right on both.
So again, let's see with Seguin.
Like, let's see.
I agree with you so far.
Long way to go.
But you never know. I mean, this year he penalty killed. He was a plus player. Like, maybe he's starting to get it.
Long way to go.
But with Thornton, they nailed it.
Okay, well, Mike O'Connell gave us a quote that I think goes down in history as one of the best of all time.
It's unreal.
Want to do it after these words?
Yeah.
Let's take the break first. And Mike O'Connell will tell you they recognize it at the time. And it is truly, I think, one of the great takedowns of a player I've ever heard. Mike O'Connell on Joe Thornton coming up next with your calls.
Michael Felger, Tony Maserati. Felger.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
I hate jokes. We're not taking jokes.
That joke blew.
It's Felger and Mass, 98.5 The Sports Hub.
It is satisfying to me. You know, it really is. I'd be lying if I didn't say it, so that the Bruins won it before San Jose. You know, that was a controversial trade. We knew that it was going to cause a lot of waves, and you know, eventually it probably cost you my job. But so it is, you know, and I don't think, you know, and you might differ with me, I don't think the Bruins would have won the Stanley Cup if they had Joe Thornton on this team.
As Michael Connell on with us in June of 2011 after the Bruins won the Cup. We got him on. I used to cover him, so I don't know. Came on, and we, because half the roster was his, for crying out loud. And the important pieces were all his. Krejci, Bergeron, the Rask, Tim Thomas. I'm sorry, Tim Thomas was his. So half the roster was O'Connell's over. And the key guys were O'Connell's. And so we had him on, and the Joe Thornton thing came up. You know, he admits it. Well, I mean, Jimmy, is there a longer version of that?
There might be. Let me check. But that was what I pulled for.
That last line is one of the great slams of all time. I don't think they or we would have won the cup, whatever he said, they or we, if Joe Thornton were on that team. Holy crap. What an absolute shot that is. That is a missile. That is a freaking cannon shot. I don't think they would have won if Joe Thornton was on the team. So not only is he not good enough to win, he's a negative? Like, what a shot. That is one of the great comments that we've ever gotten on this program.
There's a longer version that's just as good. He mentioned something about identifying Bergeron as the guy.
Yeah.
Because they had just drafted Bergeron, and we wanted to build around Bergeron and not Joe. And maybe that's all revisionist history, that they get to 2011, Bergeron has won a cup, Joe's still in San Jose, hasn't even gotten to the finals by that point. And maybe O'Connell just says that to make himself look better, but that is a shot of epic proportions there.
Ultimately what this gets down to is Thornton wasn't competitive enough. He wasn't competitive enough. He didn't care enough. And again, it sounds like, you know, some of it is just who he is. He was content to just be Joe Thornton, and, you know, fighting someone for a puck and winning the game was not the thing that was the most important thing in the world to him. You compare that how a guy like Bergeron plays, and let's go back to the Winter Classic. He skates, you know, back checks on one end, breaks up a play, comes back the other end, and scores a goal. Like, you know, Thornton was just never that guy. Never. That comment to me, and I know, listen, it sounds like I'm, you know, beating the chest of the show. Of all the stuff we've had in the 10 years that we've been on the air almost, that is one of the great cannon shots of all time, that comment. What a blow that is. Wow.
And I feel so vindicated because our assistant program director, Rick Radzik, just came in during the commercial break and used the analogy I did for Joe Thornton when I said it to you guys in the email chain yesterday. Number one pick. Really tall and talented. Never really lived up to his potential. A lot of padded stats. Had to get shipped out of Boston because it was never going to work here. He's Drew Bledsoe on skates. That's who Joe Thornton is. Great. You know, look, really, really talented. And he'll end up a Hall of Famer, likely. But it was just never going to happen here.
Lacked that thing.
He lacked the it.
I think Thornton's even worse because I think he's more talented than Bledsoe. I mean, he's got 1,000 points, for crying out loud. Joe Thornton, again, was an MVP of the league. Like, you just look at it and say, that guy should have owned the league. 6'4", 220, good passer, soft hands, productive, all of it.
But deep down, you always knew. You always kind of knew it was never gonna happen with either of those guys.
Dennis and Beverly, your thoughts?
Hey, how's it going, guys? Just to touch on quickly on a few different subjects to talk about. As far as you talk about the trade, I think if you look at that as a whole, both those trades, the return on the Sagan trade was much better because if you the Thornton trade, Sturm had a little bit of touch, but that was pretty much it. The Sagan trade, they got Smith, who had some touch, who they wound up getting rid of, and Erickson, who had some touch, you know, soft play, but he had a little touch. So the return was a little.
See, I'm sorry, Dennis, to keep interrupting you. See, I disagree. If I'm taking those seven players that you got for Thornton's, I mean, first of all, what a bag of crap for two MVP.
Both of them.
Two MVP caliber guys. You don't get back a single draft pick. And what you end up with is freaking Louis Erickson, Riley Smith, Joe Morrow, Matt Frazier, Marco Sturm, Wayne Primeau, and Matt Sturm. Stewart could actually play too. He's a sucker for the return on Thornton was... I hate to use the word much because it was such a lousy return. I think it was substantially better. I think it was because I'd take Sturm on, to me, Sturm's first on that list.
Yeah. How much difference, though, really, between Sturm and Erickson?
Oh, Sturm was better.
You think so?
Yeah, I do.
I mean, to me, it's one big pile of garbage.
Nah.
The whole thing. You traded two top picks in the draft for nothing. You got nothing back, really, on either one. I mean, you know, and again, I'm not telling you Sturm or Erickson was a complete bum. I thought Erickson was okay. He was okay, but that's what you got. You got B-minus players or B players tops. That's it.
We've got Monty in Framingham. Who's the best NHL player who never won a cup?
I'm sorry, what was that?
What are you calling about, Monty? What do you got? Oh, God. That's just the kind of thing I hate.
Oh, that's so irritating.
Set you up perfectly. Not paying attention. Who is
his phone sucked on top of it.
We got text. Who did we leave out? Marcel Dion?
Marcel Dion. That's a good one.
Okay, good one.
Dion's a good one. He was a terrific player who played a long time and never won. Marcel Dion's a good one.
Jeremy Roenick, Eric Lindros.
Oh, Lindros. Good one. Lindros.
Yeah. Roenick never won a cup either?
Nope.
Nope.
Styles. Came up short. Throw a Monte on the list if you want. Sorry.
We'll have to ask him about that if we see him at the cup.
Sorry, Tony. Yeah. Monte played 17 years, sniffed around it, couple teams, couple good teams, never won it.
Did Keith Tkachuk?
Tkachuk never won it. Tkachuk never won it. So, I mean, I still put Thornton ahead of all these guys.
So I'll tell you.
I mean, maybe not Dion, but.
He's a center.
Thornton's on that list.
Right? I mean, Roenick was a center too, though, wasn't he?
I think so.
So to me, it's worse if you're a center. Like, if you are a franchise center, which is somewhat, you know, and you don't win a cup, that's bad.
Jimmy, you can't find the long one?
No, I can't.
It's okay. Just play what you did again. Just listen to this howitzer. Listen to this shot from Mike O'Connell on Joe Thornton.
It is satisfying to me. You know, it really is. I'd be lying if I didn't say it, so that if that the Bruins won it before San Jose. You know, that was a controversial trade. We knew that it was going to cause a lot of waves. And, you know, eventually it probably cost you my job. But so it is, you know, and I don't think, you know, and you might differ with me, I don't think the Bruins would have won the Stanley Cup if they had Joe Thornton on this team.
Wow. Wow. I still hear it 10 years later. I go, oh, my God. I can't believe he said that.
I mean,
I don't think the Bruins would have won the Cup if they had Joe Thornton on this team.
Basically, in another way of saying it, we never would have won with that guy.
Yeah, exactly.
You can't win with that guy. That's what he's saying. And teams throw dirt on players out the door after they trade them. They, you know, massage the trade or they do all sorts of things. How often do you hear a GM come out and say, we never would have won with that guy? You can't win with that guy.
It was 8 years ago that he said that, and it's still true. It's still true. It never changed.
So let me ask you, did they know it? Did they recognize it?
Yeah, I think they did.
Okay, so they got it right.
Yeah. I give them credit for that.
And you know what? If they said the same thing about Sagan, they might be right. I think they said the same thing about Phil Kessel, even though they wanted him, and Kessel went on and won. So, you know, not quite on that one. So let's see. I think part of it was on Dougie Hamilton. I think they had pause on Doug Hamilton because, whew, what a puss that guy is, and they recognize it when he was here. I think they're going to be proven right on that one. I don't think you can win with Doug Hamilton as being one of your primary defensemen. I think there's something wrong there. So, like, on all those sort of analyses, I think they got them kind of right in terms of those aren't centerpiece guys. Bergeron is, for all those intangible reasons.
I mean, it's
But you just got to get back first-round picks. So the Kessel trade, 2 firsts and a second. Good. The Hamilton trade, 1st and 2 seconds. Not great, but, you know, at least you're getting back high picks. Louis Erickson and Riley Smith and Matt Stewart? Or, like, what are you doing?
Yeah, brutal.
Wayne, Mark Stewart.
Primo, Mark Stewart, sorry.
I mean, brutal.
What are you doing?
Yeah, absolutely brutal. You know, again, you traded a guy who was the number one pick in the draft and another guy who was the number two pick in the draft. Two of the elite scorers in the league during their careers. And again, I'm not telling you Sagan is, you know, the guy with Tampa, Kucherov. Okay, I'm not telling you he's that. But still, you trade away that kind of talent. This is the classic horse for ponies deals.
Okay.
Both of them.
But still, so we just thought we'd do that because Joe's out again. Once again, that's it, and that might be it for him. I want to play a little cut from him post-game last night, just so you get a little part of it from Joe himself. You'll hear the update. There's no commercials. We got this matchup on the board. We got the Thornton trade on the board. We got to look at the goalie matchup coming up next as well. Again, no spots here, just Joe and the update.
We're right there. You know, it's just they played great. You know, hats off to them. That's a real good hockey team over there. We competed hard. You know, that's in, you know, we expected that. We expected, you know, all these 20 guys to dress to compete hard, and we did. I don't think the score, you know, really dictated the game, but we played hard tonight.
Joe, have you given any thought
thought to the future?
No, it's not. Nope.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.